live from New York, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to be talking about how you can prevent urinary tract infections with a simple drink in the morning and a few drinks in the afternoon. Also, how tangerines, and specifically a tangerine tomato, beats everything else as far as lycopene from Ohio State University. We'll also be examining today ways to have more muscle strength, even more muscle mass as we age. We have more fat as we age, more sagging and bagging skin, more wrinkles. Well, let's turn that around today. Also, there's a way of turning the white fat into healthier brown-like fat with a certain nutrient. Washington State University, I'll tell you what that nutrient is and how easy it is to obtain. We have a lot of diabetics or people who have diabetic friends or family members. They take drugs. The drugs does not cure diabetes. It does not reverse it. It merely tries to maintain some level of acceptable blood sugar, fasting blood sugar. What about the side effects of those medications? Well, there's one drug causing diabetic ketoacidosis, which is a life-threatening condition. I'll tell you about that. And also a person that was diabetic and now is not, and how they did it. And there's a vitamin that destroys cancer cells, big time. And I'll tell you about that vitamin today, plus a whole lot more on health and healing, including the benefits of beets documented to defeat cancer. Also today, I want to talk about how corporate influence won. The House passes the anti-GMO labeling bill. That's a bad thing. And it was dubbed the Dark Act. It had the backing of powerful groups who poured money into defeating state-level GMO labeling efforts. We'll give you the latest on that. Also, why would 46 senators support burning trees for electricity when that contributes more to climate change than coal? We'll give you that. Also today, methane outbreaks are accelerating, and it's happening. Now, most people have never heard of a methane outbreak. I'll give you all of the information you need to know on this. This comes from Professor Peter Wadhams of Cambridge University, and it is the future. It is not stoppable. It is one of the tipping points that have tipped, and now we'll see the outcome. Also, I certainly support wind power, especially the new technology that doesn't even have blades. I support geothermal. We have a lot of those springs in the United States. Not one that I'm aware of is being used to heat a municipality. Look at Iceland. They heat whole highways and roads and houses with their geothermal. We don't do any of it. Wave power. We're surrounded by water with waves. That creates electricity for us and power, non-polluting. But there is a side of wind power that's extremely disturbing, and I want to talk about that. The wind turbines emit brain-disrupting ultrasound pollution that affects people for miles around. I'll share that with you. Also today, how Monsanto won in this latest effort, and five inconvenient truths about Hillary Clinton for the Democrats that just can't get enough of her. Also today, you've seen the pro-vaccine scientists and parents who are very concerned because you are not vaccinating your children, that somehow that represents a negative, that can adversely affect them, and that is not good. So we want to be able to show you the truth about the pro-vaccine campaign. It'll be exposed today, including the Jennifer Hibben White viral Facebook about how she's so worried that her newborn baby may have contracted the measles due to anti-vaxxers. Well, none of it was accurate. Also, if time permits, John Oliver on food waste in America. and how the producers, the sellers, even the consumers waste tons of food. I won't play the whole clip. It's a long clip. But I'll play enough of it for you to get the message. And then I've got some very positive suggestions, something I used to do. In fact, photographs of it are up on our website where you'll see me in some bib overhauls pressing cider from apples that I got for free and peaches. I mixed apples and peaches together. I didn't have to pick one. They were on the ground. And how today thousands of tons of perfectly good fruit is not even picked up off the ground. Why? I'll tell you why and why you could pick it up and make your own little business out of it. So we have a lot to share. And also, we just got the latest statistics on how many people are listening, when they listen. You might find this interesting. 99% of the people who listen to this program each day don't listen live. They listen over the archives. The average person is a 37-year-old woman, college-educated, listening at night, who likes a combination of all the different themes that are handled according to the feedback and the analytics. So we appreciate knowing who our audiences are. Also, a lot of people, we're number one in all of North and South America, where people listen to this radio show over their portable listening devices. If you ever need to listen over a telephone or cell phone or some other portable device, here's the number you'd call in and listen at noon Eastern Standard Time, 712-432-7231, 712-432-7231. Let's begin. There are millions upon millions of Americans, as well as people around the world each year, who suffer from some form of uterine bacterial infection. According to the current issue of Journal of Biological Chemistry, your diet and the fact that you're not having the right balance of molecules makes a difference. Quote, the acidity of urine, as well as the presence of small particles related to diet, may influence how well bacteria grow in the urinary tract. Research at Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis may have implications for treating urinary tract infections, which are among the most common bacterial infections worldwide. So here's what I suggest. Change the pH in the morning. Now, that's easy to do. How do you do it? Simply take the juice of two lemons, roll them first, roll them with the palm of your hand. That breaks open the cells inside, so that when you squeeze it, you get more juice out of it. Of course, if you have one of those little juicers that you can put the lemon cut in half over and it spins and the juice comes out, good. Most people don't, in which case you just cut it. And what I do is I cut the lemon at one end, squeeze it, turn around, cut the other end, and squeeze it. You get more juice out. Put then that into some cold water and add about 3 ounces of unsweetened cranberry juice or concentrate or powder and about 1,000 to 1,500 milligrams of buffered vitamin C. I have not seen anyone develop urinary tract infections after following this protocol, and those who have them, it helps clean them up. So that's a good way to create the right pH for the urine. Mind you, this is different than the blood, the urine, and that will kill the bacteria and keep them from being able to adhere to the cells in the urethra and in the bladder. From Ohio State University, lycopene, which is a very healthy nutrient, it's also an antioxidant, from what is called the tangerine tomato. It has 800% more bioavailability than lycopene from red tomatoes and from juices. So we know that it's a great antioxidant. That's why we should have the red and pink fruits, pink grapefruit and blood oranges. These are really good. And watermelons right at the top of the list and raspberries. So it's really good for us. And what they found was that the red tomatoes typically contain 95% of their lycopene, as well as all the trans isomers, which are in stable form. And in tangerine tomatoes, on the other hand, the lycopene is also present as a tetra-cis lycopene, the geometric isomer of all trans lycopene. To put it in lay language, you get more of it, more available in your body. So this was published in the peer-reviewed Journal of Molecular Nutrition and Food Research from Ohio State University. So, quote, "We attribute this increase in bioavailability to tangerine tomatoes being rich in cis lycopene, and this lycopene present in lipid-dissolved globular structures." So in lay language, again, just look for some tangerine tomatoes. They're very easy to get, and a lot of lycopene in the process. I counseled someone this morning who is 70 years of age and is going through a really rough period following a heart attack or a heart condition and surgery. And he's lost a lot of muscle mass. And one want to know, what can he do? Because he has no energy, and the medications he's taking make his legs feel like, he said, rubber. Well, the medications he's taking, he should see a holistic physician because those are unnecessary at this point. And also, I gave him some specific suggestions of how to exercise the different muscle groups gradually, slowly, starting off with what your body can handle, including walking in a swimming pool so you have very little stress upon any part of the body, and yet you have some buoyancy, and even picking it up to where you can do deep water power walking or running, and then gradually add weights. You can get waterproof rubber weights, or you can get sponge weights. Now, these look like dumbbells, and you can put them in your hands, but when you're in the water, they absorb the water, and you can get them weighing 5 pounds, 20 pounds, 30 pounds. So one good way to hit all the muscle groups in your body. Also, stationary bicycling at high intensity, and so you get really maximum resistance. It's the resistance that benefits the muscles. And then, of course, there are nutrients, like, for example, D-ribose is good. Glutamine is good. R-alpha-lipoic acid is excellent. L-carnitine, Q10 is good. But for muscle mass, to help get you back your muscle, especially over the age of 45, creatine is your best, generally around up to 5 milligrams, or 5 grams, I should say, 5,000 milligrams. And if you do that each day, plus the branched-chain amino acids before and after an exercise, you'll start to see the protoplasm expand. And within about 3 to 6 months, where you have flab and folding skin and fat, you'll have taut skin and vibrant muscles. And this is from the University of Copenhagen. It doesn't give you the advice I just gave you, but it does emphasize an important point. Quote, "New research reveals that it only takes 2 weeks. 2 weeks of not using your legs for young people to lose a third of their muscle strength, leaving them on the par for a 50-year-old. So this is according to the Center for Healthy Aging and the Department of Biomedical Science at the University of Copenhagen. So imagine then if you're 50 and you go 2 weeks without using your muscles, then you're going to really age your cells. So you got to be aware, we've got to do our muscle work every day, 6 days a week. We have to do resistance exercising. And then by using the nutrients I just suggested, you'll get good rip tight muscles. Also from Washington State University, quote, "Resveratrol, a polyphenol from grapes and red wine, may convert excess white fat that you don't want into calorie-burning brown fat, and in a major way. So, here's the takeaway message. Have some grapes, or grape juice, or grape seed extract, or grape concentrate. At this time of year, get some organic Concord grape juice, put it into those little popsicle molds or ice cubes and freeze them. And then after a workout, you throw a bunch of that into a blender, put in some lemon juice and some water, blend it up, and you got just it's so thirst quenching. Of course, you can't drink it all too fast or you get brain freeze, but it really quenches the thirst, and it's giving you the benefit of that resveratrol that's in there. Also, finally, there's a type of drug that's out there. These are the sodium glucose cotransporter 2, or what are called SGLT2s, inhibitors. They're not good. They shouldn't be used, in my opinion. And they can lead to diabetic ketoacidosis. That can kill you. That's a very serious condition. But I don't trust the FDA. It is a corrupt organization from top to bottom. And it's in the administration and the policymaking part. There are certainly honest and dedicated scientists working there, but not the ones who run it. So the medications in question, like from AstraZeneca and some of the other people, these are ones I would never recommend anyone using. Because once you get on, you can't get off, and it doesn't cure anything. But what is diabetic ketoacidosis? Diabetic ketoacidosis results when the body becomes unable to use glucose at your blood sugar as energy. And when the body's cells can't take in enough glucose, it must use its fat stores instead. An acid byproduct of this process called ketones, K-E-T-O-N-E-S, ketones, can then build in the bloodstream, and that leads to a dangerous, life-threatening medical condition. And so just be aware of this. Now, one of the people that many listeners of our Progressive Radio Network, but especially WBAI, where she was on the air for 20 years, is Eutrice Leed. And Eutrice revealed this on a recent interview on my program, so it's no secret. Eutrice went through a very challenging time and still is in that challenging time. She was diagnosed with terminal lung cancer, also cancer of the uterus, and possibly cancer of the brain because of symptoms she had in addition. And she was told they opened her chest up, sewed it up, sent her home, quote, to get some quality of life. That's legal terminology for you've got days or weeks to live. Go home, put your life in order. Say goodbye. If you need be, go into hospice care, get some narcotics for the pain. That's it. Lights out. Then and only then did she decide to make her health a priority, which is good. And by the way, she's not alone. My personal experience is that at least 95% of all the people I've ever counseled and helped would only make important changes after a major life-challenging condition, a stroke, a heart attack, a cancer, a dementia. Then and only then do you get their undivided attention. And then and only then, but not always, even then, do they choose to make all the changes necessary to give themselves an opportunity to have another day on this planet. The good news is that she has had 3 months of high quality of life, and she has stated that some of the best days of her life she's lived since then, reconnected with family. And by the way, her brother's a medical, orthodox medical physician who did not necessarily support this. And she got a prescription for a drug when she left the hospital. And when she goes back to see her oncologist and the team there, they think she's taking the drug. She hasn't opened it. It stayed unopened. She has done a purely holistic protocol. Now, she could still pass. You have to be always aware and clear on this. She still has cancer in her body. But it went from being days to live to now they're all surprised and they push back that diagnosis. And that's a good thing. But a side effect was she was a full-blown diabetic for 20 years on multiple medications and even then could not get a fasting blood sugar level low enough. Here's the latest. She is no longer diagnosed as diabetic. Her blood sugar with zero medications, all medication is gone, is down to normal, and she has lost 54 pounds. And for those of you who know Utrecht, she was a very strong woman. And so she is still strong, just a little slimmer. And she's walking 7 to 8 miles a day, power walking, not casual walking. I mean, really walking. So I just want to let you know that for those who have been using those very toxic anti-diabetic drugs, you got to really look at the physician's desk reference, look at the side effects, look at the long-term effects, and ask yourself, is there another way? And the answer is yes. There are multiple ways to deal with diabetes. And finally, the vitamin found to destroy cancer cells. What is it? Vitamin E. Plays a big role in keeping women safe from breast cancer. Several recent studies have shown that it can inhibit the metabolism of cancer cells, leading to the cancer cells' death. Now, how does vitamin E wield such power? Scientists around the world have concluded that breast cancer involves special tumor-initiating cells, which not only initiate the disease, but also speed the development of metastasis and therapeutic resistance and relapse. And vitamin E comes to the rescue by destabilizing the mitochondria in those special cells and making it so they cannot carry on metabolism, leading to their death. In other words, each cell, the human body, has a tiny furnace in it known as the mitochondria, in which fuel is burned to give energy to that cell. What vitamin E does is block the process in cancer cells, and without fuel, the cancer cell soon dies or starves to death. And that's it. And that's good. So, and vitamin E is not adequate in any food to do this. You really need to take it as a supplement. I'm Gary Nall. Back in a moment, and let's see if you know who was on this unique guitar.
Gonna lay down my heavy load.
Down by the riverside.
Oh, yes.
Down by the riverside.
You know.
Down by the riverside.
Gonna lay down my heavy load.
Down by the riverside.
Meet my loving mother.
For those of you who love, for those of you who love gospel music, you know Sister Rosetta there, and she was playing on Les Paul acoustical guitar, well, the first. Now, we have had so much information on pro-vaccines and so many people attacking anyone who questions them. And mind you, the vast majority of physicians, scientists, activists, and consumers who are opposed to vaccines are not opposed to vaccines per se, but rather don't want to see children get as many vaccines all in one large group. They want to space them out. Very few people I've ever met are actually anti-vaccines per se. The more research you do, the more thousands of hours you spend, the more scientific evidence you look at, that's what gets you there. But for the average person, they simply have seen a healthy child, a teenager, with a Gardasil vaccine, take the vaccines, then de-evolve into that dark place called autism spectrum disorder, Asperger's syndrome, or some form of learning defect. Now, we're not talking about a few thousand or a few hundred thousand or even a few million. We're talking about many millions of children being adversely affected, and then the parents and then the associated family members. So we're talking about a lot of people. And instead of being honest and open and bringing in an independent group of scientists and public health officials to examine all the evidence, pro and cons, safety and efficacy of a given vaccine, let alone a combination of vaccines, it has been a one-sided story. If you say anything at all against vaccines, you're targeted, you're up on different lists, there's a hate campaign against you, and you never get on television. It's the rarity. In fact, even Tony Bark, who went out to California and was supposed to be scheduled to testify against the mandatory vaccines, was not allowed to, but a pro-vaccine advocate. Boy, was that a mistake by the people out there. This is a pro-vaccine person went in to give a balanced opinion. Well, you can't give a balanced opinion on vaccines if you're pro-vaccine and have not looked at any of the literature that shows that they're dangerous. So the biggest campaign in the last year, the one that was everywhere in California and probably motivated a lot of people to say, no, we need mandatory vaccines. I don't want my kid exposed to some wackaloon parent who is an anti-vaxxer. Very effective campaign. Kudos to them. Right now, the pro-vaccine movement is winning. Everyone else loses. Generations lose. Whole generations of children who are walking around with autoimmune conditions, inner ear infections, allergies, they lose. So let's tell you the truth now about the pro-vaccine campaign that so many people, legislators and the media, reported without doing their homework. Here's the truth behind the scenes.
Jennifer Hibben White wrote a Facebook post that was really more of a rant, and this was all because of the hyped up measles outbreak in Toronto, which really wasn't much of an outbreak at all. I mean, people do get the measles. It happens all the time. And more often than not, it's not from the so-called anti-vaxxers who have had the disease and developed a lifelong immunity, but it's actually from people who have gotten vaccinated and never got the future booster shots. But regardless, Jennifer Hibben White is blaming the anti-vaxxers. She literally says here, "I blame you," in this long, hateful Facebook rant that got hundreds of thousands of shares and actually ended up getting coverage from the corporate state media. Now, what the corporate state media, the so-called mainstream, failed to acknowledge was just who Jennifer Hibben White actually is. What's her profession, and what kind of motives does she have for promoting the vaccination of children? So let's go ahead and do the job of the mainstream media here. Let's take a look at just who Jennifer Hibben White is. Well, apparently she's the vice president of a marketing company that's focused on social media, so that should obviously explain a lot. But what gets really interesting is this, where she has listed Alan Hibben as a friend. Notice she doesn't have him listed as a family member, but as a friend. However, she does have Turner Hibben listed as her sister. Now, we go to Turner's page, and we notice that Turner has Alan listed as her father and Jennifer as her sister. So we can see that these people are indeed related. Now, this is important. It's good to know that Alan Hibben is the father of Jennifer Hibben White because of who Alan Hibben is. So here is a LinkedIn profile which shows he's currently the principal at Shaker Hill Partners Limited. Now the question is this the same Alan Hibben that's the father of Jennifer and Turner? Well, it turns out that all three of them went to Havergal, and this is the fall 2010 annual report, and if you scroll down here to page 22, you can see that yes, indeed, this is Alan, the father of Jennifer. Now, I'm going to put all of these links in the description, guys, so you can verify all of this for yourself. So Alan has a lot going on. He's got a lot on his plate. He's the principal stockholder for a company called Chorus Pharma, which, as you see here, is tied into RBC Life Sciences Limited Partnership and RBC Capital Partners, which Alan Hibben is a managing partner in. So, just who is Chorus Pharma? Well, according to their website, they make drugs for respiratory illnesses, but look here. It says they also serve the vaccine market. So Jennifer's father benefits from the vaccine industry. And if we go back here to her original Facebook post that got all the shares, you can see there was someone here named Edward Stowe. And he wants to share this post on his LinkedIn profile with all of his big pharma industry insiders, all of his friends. So I think this probably explains why this went viral. You know, this is a case of one hand washing the other, where some mother who has all the pro-vaccination people in her social circles wrote an emotional rant on Facebook that then got shared amongst the pharma industry workers that literally want to force you and your kids to get vaccinated. Now, once this went viral amongst all the so-called healthcare professionals and the generally just ignorant and scared, well, the old dinosaur 6 o'clock news covered the story and it went viral once again. And this ended up reaching far more people than it ever would, all thanks to the mainstream media. So instead of doing their job as investigative journalists, the corporate state, so-called mainstream, just simply reiterated the status quo that anti-vaxxers are to blame, and that everyone should be coerced into getting vaccinations, and think of the children, and it goes on and on and on. Oh, man. The real virus here, guys, was not the measles. It was actually the pro-vaccine campaign. But guess what? The good news here is it's not working. I mean, if there's one area in the alternative independent media where we've won in these last few years, it's in the vaccination debate. And thanks to all of the mothers who compiled this investigation and put a lot of this info together, well, we just schooled the pharmaceutical industrial complex once again. You know, it's simple. They're wrong about war, they're wrong about central banking, and they're wrong about health-related issues. And as I covered in my previous video, the measles are not the Black Plague. There's actually a lot of health benefits from having it as a child and developing a lifelong immunity from it. You know, these are benefits that you can't recreate with a vaccine and all the subsequent booster shots that you're going to need. Now, Jennifer's original post was obviously a sensational emotional rant, and it clearly clicked with about 300,000 people who shared it. But upon further scrutiny, it's clear that Jennifer and her friends are all in cahoots with Big Pharma, and their jobs depend on vaccines.
That's right. Americans were played like fools. There are all these trolls out there, these trolls that get onto websites every single day. I personally go through my Facebook and block people who are clearly there to cause problems. And then you have to separate out a legitimate concern from propaganda. And we have lots of those on the vaccine and pharmaceutical front. So that is important that you let everyone know. The Jennifer Hibben White. Oh, by the way, look more into her background and write her and ask, could you send us the health background of your newborn baby? Did your baby contract measles? We'd like to see that play out. Next up, let us play this from John Oliver on food waste in America.
Our main story tonight concerns food, or as plants and animals might call it, the afterlife. We love food in America, as you would know if you've ever turned on a television set.
IHOP all-you-can-eat pancakes are back.
Introducing all-you-can-eat wings only at Golden Corral.
Everyone's favorite endless shrimp is back.
People wait for this promotion all year long.
Riblets, riblets, riblets. Applebee's has riblets. All that you can eat now, riblets.
Sadness, sadness, sadness. Let food replace your sadness. Stuff riblets in that hole in your heart.
That's a catchy way to sell hog scraps hidden in barbecue sauce. In fact, celebrating America
often goes hand in hand with celebrating its food. What's this actual commercial running right now?
What's more American than a cheeseburger? This cheeseburger, loaded with a hot dog and potato chips, in the hands of all-American model Samantha Hoops, in a hot tub, in a pickup truck, driven by an American bull rider, on an aircraft carrier, under the gaze of Lady Liberty, as she admires the most American thick burger, new at Carl's Jr. and Hardee's.
Wow! A cheeseburger with hot dog and potato chips. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the new Confederate flag. She's majestic. But this is not a story about the food we eat. It's a story about the food we don't eat, because there is a surprising amount of it.
A report by the Natural Resources Defense Council says that as much as 40% of all the food produced in the United States never gets eaten.
Americans throw away $165 billion worth of food every year. That's about 20 pounds per person every month.
Americans throw away enough food every year to fill 730 football stadiums.
Food waste is like the band Rascal Flatts. It can fill a surprising number of stadiums, even though many people consider it complete garbage. But between producers, sellers and consumers, Americans are throwing out a third or more of our food, and the amount we throw out has increased by around 50% since the 1970s. At this rate, in 40 years, when you order pizza from Domino's, they'll just deliver it straight to the nearest dumpster, as they should, but that's not the point here. And if you think that this sounds bad, just wait until you see how it looks. Check out this waste dump in California's Salinas Valley.
We got a whole load pretty much of loose organic lettuce. You know, we've got spinach towards the back. Looks like it's perfectly fine, nothing wrong with it. We got some kale here. We got broccoli in the back as well. We have plenty of produce to make a salad here.
Oh, not just a salad. You could make a significantly better salad than the salads they actually sell at McDonald's, which look like the trimmings in Ronald McDonald's lawnmower mixed with Grimace ejaculate. And the thing is, watching all that food go from farm to not a table is awful for a bunch of reasons. First, and most obviously, there are many people in this country who need that food. In 2013, nearly 50 million Americans lived in food-insecure households, meaning that at some point in the year, they struggle to put enough food on the table. And the fact that we throw away a third of our food gets pretty alarming when you hear from some of those people.
It's hard. I'll go without food before my kids will. Budget is down to the penny, and it's just not enough still.
It brings you to tears.
Yeah.
Why?
It's just hard. They're so young, and it's hard.
It is crazy that that is happening in a country with 730 football stadiums full of uneaten food. It's insane. But there are also other less obvious consequences to discarding food. For a start, we're wasting all the labor and natural resources that went into making it. And at a time when the landscape of California is shriveling up like a pumpkin in front of a house with a lazy dad, it seems especially unwise that farmers are pumping water into food that ends up being used as a garnish for landfills, because those landfills go on to cause problems of their own.
If you were to throw an apple core just out into the woods, it's not a big deal. The problem comes when all of that waste is aggregated and it decomposes without air in a landfill. That anaerobic condition is what creates methane, which is a greenhouse gas that's more than 20 times as potent as CO2 at trapping heat.
That's right. When we dump food into a landfill, we're essentially throwing a trash blanket over a flatulent food man and Dutch ovening the entire planet. And if you're thinking, but hold on, John, what if I'm an a**hole who couldn't give a** about America's hungry families or the long-term viability of life on Earth? Well, first, let me say, Mr. Trump, thank you so much for taking the time to watch this show tonight. It's lovely to have you with us. And secondly, don't worry, there is a selfish financial reason for you to care about this story too.
In our households, we're wasting somewhere between 15 and 25% of the food that we're buying. You know, that's expensive. I mean, imagine walking out of a grocery store with four bags of groceries, dropping one in the parking lot, and just not bothering to pick it up. And that's essentially what we're doing in our homes today.
And that's not good. When you're throwing away that much food, you're not just being wasteful, you're whining and dining raccoons. Oh, this is absolutely lovely. Thanks for this, we needed a break from the kids. And look, it's a good thing. So many of us have access to plenty of relatively inexpensive food. I love the fact that we live in a country with Cap'n Crunch, Peanut Butter Crunch, Chocolatey Crunch, Sprinkled Donut Crunch, Cinnamon Roll Crunch, Christmas Crunch, and Halloween Crunch. I will even defend Oops All Berries Crunch, a cereal so unnecessary that its actual name includes an apology for its existence. But it does seem like our food wastage is getting to a critical mass, and so much of it stems from our own habits and misconceptions. For instance, stores big and small often routinely overstock so that you can walk in and see tons of food there. Because if they don't do that, as this small farm stand operator describes it, we might not buy anything.
If this was what I had, and there was an hour left in the market, that one bunch of chard would sit there and no one would buy it. But if I had 30 bunches of chard all like bursting out, I'd probably sell like 25 of those bunches of chard. So what does that say? Like, people are totally impulse shopping, and they think if there's one left, that there's something wrong with it.
It's true. I wouldn't buy that chard, partly because it's chard, but mainly because we naturally assume the last option is a bad option, which in many contexts is absolutely the case. For example, you don't want the last magazine in the doctor's office because it's always Golf Digest. Always, and no one has ever read Golf Digest. That's not even a golf club in his hand, but no one noticed because it's on Golf Digest. But when it comes to produce, the last option is probably completely fine, especially because, as another farmer explains, even slightly subpar fruits and vegetables don't make it to the produce aisle.
Every time that the people are picking, they'll have a few they throw on the ground because there's always a few that aren't quite perfect.
This is a perfectly good peach,
yep.
Right on the ground like this.
Yep.
Oh, my God. If you just look down this way, it's like a fountain.
Okay, that gives you the overarching view. Let me share a few specifics now. First, if you go to any orchard, any place in the United States, you're going to find that the part of the fruit that faces into the tree doesn't get uniform sunlight. Therefore, they frequently gas these so that you have a uniform orange, uniform red, uniform yellow. Where nature doesn't work that way, you'll get spots on it. The spots are just because there was not uniform sunlight. So they consider those of no value to sell on a shelf, though they may use them in a juice. But often, there are far more of those than what they ever use. You could actually do a business by making your own ciders, making your own jams, making your own dried fruits, and selling them, and it costs you nothing. They're happy to get rid of them because they bring worms to the root system of the trees if they rot on the ground. Secondly, they're what are called downer fruit. This is fruit that just drops. On my own orchards, and I have two home orchards that produce a lot of fruit, I never have had to pick anything off a tree. Instead, I just each morning go out and pick what's on the ground, perfectly good, and wash it and juice it or eat it. You could do the same thing. And you could go with a group up once a week and get enough fruit that it lasts you for the whole week. That's another issue. Also, go into stores and in the morning, you have to do this early, and get all the fruits and vegetables that they're trimming and clipping so they fit neatly on a shelf, because when they come out of the boxes, they come out too large to stack on a shelf. That's all perfectly good food. You can get that and give it to soup kitchens, to the homeless shelters, or use it yourself. Now, a few more things. This is from Ronnie Cummins from Common Dreams. Yesterday, 275 members of the House of Representatives voted in favor of H.R. 1599, the DARK Act. By voting for the DARK Act, these politicians voted against truth and transparency, against science, against the more than century-old right of states to legislate on matters relating to food safety and labeling. They voted against the 90% of Americans who were in favor of mandatory labeling of GMOs. They voted against the producers of non-GMO organic foods. They voted against you. Now that the DARK Act has been approved by the House, will have to stop it in the Senate. We have to move fast because Monsanto is desperate to pass a bill that preempts mandatory GMO labeling laws at the state level, and so this is why they are doing it. So H.R. 1599 was sold to Congress via multi-million-dollar public relations lobbying campaigns built upon lies and deception. The bill's sole purpose is to support any industry, Monsanto poisoning, peddling industry, that was founded on lies and deception from the get-go. So contact your legislator and tell them no in the Senate to the H.R. 1599. All right? That's important. Now, why am I opposed to wind, the wind turbines? If you want to locate them up in the Rocky Mountains at the Great Continental Divide, that's where you get huge wind blast coming out of the Colorado area. That's one place that's very, very low population and therefore could provide an enormous amount of energy. But what if it's around farms? What if it's around where people live? Not good. Why? Because even though it is called a green energy source, it actually is only partially that. And wind farms, since they were first introduced, according to Daniel Barker, has been increasingly apparent that there are many problems associated with it. What are they? Well, aside from the fact they're very expensive and how much they actually produce in the long term and how many millions of bird deaths and the chemical used in the manufacturing, none of that is green. But there's another thing. It's called ultrasound pollution. If you're within miles of this, there is this humming sensation you can hear, but you can also feel it. It's detecting sound at frequencies as low as 8 hertz, and that low-frequency sound of the type emitted by wind turbines indeed do have a measurable and observable effect on human brains. According to Dr. Christian Koch of the Max Planck Institute for Developmental Human Development and published in a major journal, they found that the sounds considered too low for human ears to detect are still registered by the primary auditory cortex in the brain. This part of the brain is responsible for translating sound into meaning. The researchers also found that another part of your brain, an area associated with emotions, become active when volunteers in the experiments were exposed to sounds in low frequency ranges, even inaudible. So we should not be having any of these wind farms around densely populated areas or even sparsely populated areas. They should be in no populated areas and ideally out to sea. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a break and come back. Please stay with us. I'd like to welcome all of you. For the remainder of our program, we're going to play this segment from Anonymous. My engineers feel we have the right clip, and this is a short clip, but also just a couple things that are coming up. Sunday will be the last New York showing of my new film, Saving the Planet. I hope to see a lot of you out there. I'll be there. Call to make reservations. It's at noon, 631-423-7611, 631-423-7611. Also, I want to mention that if you have any old photographs of anything that you've taken with us dances, lectures, anything at all, running club, please send them. You'll get them back. We're making a whole montage to show the radio program over the years and all the different people. It should be a lot of fun, a real historical picture book. You can send it to Gary Nall, 2421 Broadway, New York, New York, 10024. 2421 Broadway, New York, New York, 10024. And you'll get the picture back. Also, tomorrow, noon to 2, I will be at 2421 Broadway. That's at 89th Street from noon to 2. And I'll be sharing samples of my new invention. In fact, a bunch of them. I get inspired late at night. I go into the kitchen after the chefs have left. And I do my work. And I think you'll really like what you experience. That's come and get a sample. The first people to get the sample, it's free, the sample, tomorrow, noon to 2. Also, I want to take a moment to acknowledge one of the most wonderful, uplifting, inspiring, beautiful voices for the women's movement in the United States over the past 35 years, Virginia Reed. Virginia Reed had a program on Progressive Radio Network, a very popular one, and she also was known to many of the people in this audience because of her love of dancing. You couldn't miss her. She was the best dancer at every dance I ever had, and I had over 50. She's also very tall, about 6'2", and that's without doing her hair up, in which case she's about 6'6". To watch her dance was to watch pure poetry. She had that rhythm, and she had the energy. She was vibrant. People loved Virginia. She was a sociologist, a psychologist, a behavioralist, a humanist, and always showing the best that she could do. Now, we're going to continue her program, A Woman's Perspective. It airs every Saturday at 5 p.m. We're going to continue it into the future. She just passed, she had a heart attack and a stroke. And to know her for all those years. So what I've done to honor her, her partner, Michael, says, you know, she would talk about how much joy she had at the parties. That was her love, coming to the parties. So we are compiling now videos of her dancing. And I put them up on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, up on my Facebook. I have a new Facebook page. So you can go and look at her. And never once did you see her doing anything but smiling, enjoying life, and motivating others. She was a great motivator, great feminist, Virginia Reed. It's our loss. I'm Gary Nall. Thank you all for listening. Look forward to sharing more on our next program. Have a nice day, everyone. Thank you.